The Mombrella 360 networking portal is now open for those who are keen to build new relationships, upskill yourselves, and strengthen personal networks. This event is unmissable. Three-day pass holders will now get an exclusive opportunity to rub shoulders with significant brand, agency, and media leaders. There are only 13 days until Mombrella 360 returns to Sydney, so lock in your three-day access pass today at mombrella.com.au/Mombrella360. Sought-after breakfast duo in Sydney radio, Carl and Jackie O, is reportedly in talks with their old friend SCA again about rejoining the network in what seems to be yet another power play to increase the talent's asking price. Meanwhile, the TV rating calendar has long crossed its half-year threshold, and the team takes a look at how the old guys and new formats have been doing, which network is winning so far, and what's to come in the next few months. All these topics discussed before a glimpse into the new Twitter rival developed by Facebook and Instagram's parent company, Meta, about what we know so far and what's to come. Welcome to Mombrella Cast, this week with an extended news chat. I'm Darcy Song, and joining me today is Mombrella's editor, Shannon Malloy. How are you, Shannon?
I'm great. How are you?
I am good. That's very nice to hear. And very excitingly, making his first podcast appearance, Mombrella's new deputy editor, Nathan Jawley. How are you, Nathan?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
How are you enjoying your time on Mombrella so far?
So far, so good. It's been a good few days.
Hopefully it stays that way for a bit longer. And I think without further ado, let's just get started with the biggest news of this week, which was from the AFR about Kyle and Jackie O being in contact with SCA again about potentially returning to their old network. Now, the report said SCA has been wooing the pair pretty aggressively, and its source said the deal with the pair will probably be signed later this year, despite still having 18 months to go with their current contract with the ARN. Now, Shannon, I think before we dig any deeper into this rumor, can you tell us a bit about where SCA's position is in the Sydney radio market right now?
Yeah, so the latest radio survey showed that KISS FM, where Kyle and Jackie O are currently, recorded its highest overall share ever in Sydney, 13% overall, which was up 1.5 points in the latest survey. That was spurred by a bigger lead that ARN has in the breakfast slot with KISS, where, of course, Kyle and Jackie O have a whopping 17.9% share in breakfast. Their share increased by 2.8% in the last survey period, which is a pretty staggering result. By comparison, Southern Cross or Stereo's Today FM, their breakfast show had just a 5.3% share in the latest survey. That's been pretty consistent throughout the year and really for the past decade, actually. Today FM cycled through various iterations of its breakfast show since Kyle and Jackie O left in about 2013, I think it was. And it's failed to find much of a winning formula. The current hosts are Husey, Ed, and Erin, and they're fine, I guess you could sort of diplomatically say, but fine is not good enough, particularly in a market like Sydney where you have Kyle and Jackie O. So Southern Cross, I think, would love to have Kyle and Jackie O back after a decade away, and plenty of barbs from particularly Kyle in the time since. But we'll see. It's certainly an interesting time in radio, Darcy.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, sort of as you mentioned, SCA is a pretty big network, and of all the slots, they are really, I feel like, struggling to get breakfast right. And then when we were talking to SCA last year, at the end of last year's rating period, they sort of acknowledged this problem as well. They acknowledged Sydney's one of their weak markets, and they were talking about bringing big guns this year to really improve that ratings in the area by, you know, introducing talents like Mick Malloy on Triple M. Today FM's breakfast share improved slightly year on year, but Triple M was largely on the same level. And each of them is only one third of Kyle and Jackie's share on KISS, like you said, Shannon. Nathan, has SCA's breakfast always been like this as well. Where do you think it went wrong?
They went wrong by losing Kyle and Jackie O, basically. If you look at their lineup since 2013, so I had a look at everyone. They started by trying to replace them with, they just threw celebrities at it. They went Mel B, Merrick Watts, Jules Lund, and Sophie Monk all together, like a breakfast soup. Mel B left, and so the other three carried it on. Then they replaced it with Dan and Maz Compton. Then they tried Rove McManus and Sam Frost for less than a year. Then they tried M and Harley, then M, Grant and Ed, where Ed is Ed Cavalier and Grant is Grant Denyer. Then Ash London came in. Then they tried a format called Music for Breakfast, where they played music on FM radio, imagine.
Mm.
And then Husey, Ed and Aaron have had it since Jan 2020. So they're actually the longest serving hosts since Kyle and Jackie O. I think the problem is they're just chucking celebrities together. Kyle and Jackie O, say what you want about them, but they have a proven format. They know each other inside and out. It's why Hamish and Andy worked for them. I think just chucking people together and hoping, well, that's how you get 5% market share.
That's definitely a fair enough observation. But, you know, I know it's quite speculative at this stage, but do you both think getting the hottest breakfast host back will just solve SCA Sydney problem magically once and for all, or do you think there are other pain points in the networks that needs to be addressed apart from breakfast?
I think short answer, yes, it would solve all of their problems probably almost instantly. That's what we saw with Kiss FM. They jumped over to Kiss. I can't even remember what Kiss was known as before Kyle and Jackie O joined, but they did a full rebrand. They built the station around them. They are the stars of Kiss. And in the very first survey a decade ago, they won. And I think that speaks to the strength of that duo as a show. And Nathan's absolutely right. That's incredible chemistry. They know exactly what they're doing. They are stars, and they can make anything work, including broadcasting from Kyle's honeymoon in Europe, which I think is probably just a clever way of getting someone else to pay for your European honeymoon. But I think anywhere that they go, it will work. I doubt that ARM will let them get away, though, given that they have spent so much money, not just on their huge salaries, but on building Kiss around them. But, you know, what a great way to increase your salary by making everyone fight a little bit harder for you.
Definitely. What's your take on this one, Nathan?
Well, today aren't just behind, like they're not just battling the Kyle and Jackie O show. They're behind Ben Fordham on the AM. They're also behind Nova. They're behind Smooth. They're behind WSFM. They're behind ABC Breakfasts. Like, it's not like these are the two networks battling it out. Like, SCA with Triple M and with Today, like, they're struggling. They're falling far behind. They fixed Triple M a bit with, although the ratings haven't really bared up for 5.1, were they? Yeah, with Mick Molloy, but he's a proven success. Tough Love was huge nationally. He was big in Melbourne Breakfast for years. Obviously, Martin Molloy kind of invented the format, for want of a better term, for Drive. So, like, time will tell with him. And as I said, they've had the current show on Today since January 2020, which suggests they're at least now trying to let these teams bake in a bit. So I think Mick Molloy and Mark Geyer could steer the Triple M Breakfast a bit, which might take pressure off Today. But, yeah. Get Kyle and Jackie O back, as Shannon said. That's a quick fix.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, this piece of news at this stage where it's all a guessing game from all parties right now. So I don't think we will dwell on it too much. But I suspect we'll keep a very close eye on in the development in the future. Now, moving along the broadcast side of things, we have quietly crossed the half-year mark of the 2023 TV ratings, as we're not actually in the 27th week of a 40-week rating cycle. You know, some top-line figures to start us off, it's looking like Nye has got the upper hand by winning 15 weeks in total people so far, while 7 has won 11. Shannon and Nathan, this is sort of a question for you both. What's one thing that stood out to you the most so far for the ratings this year? I'll start with you, Shannon.
Yeah, well, I think what stood out for me was how badly Ten is doing. It's pretty dire when you look at overnight ratings, the sort of weekly figures, and then, of course, at this mid-year point, what the third top network in Australia is doing. It's sad for me. I, you know, in a previous life, wrote about television for 4 or so years, and back then it was during an era of Ten's great legacy of breaking new ground with big and bold formats that I think the sort of more traditional and conservative networks like Seven and Nine might not have touched back then, talking about Big Brother and Australian Idol, even The Bachelor, and of course The Project in its heyday kind of really made a lot of noise in that news and current affairs space. So to see where it's landed now is, I think, pretty disappointing. And the less competition we have in free-to-air television, I think, you know, the only people to suffer from that are viewers from a lack of choice. Also, having said that, though, Ten's been written off plenty of times before, and they've carried on and soldiered on. And Beverly McGarvey, who's their programming boss there, always tends to have a trick or two up her sleeve. I hope that's the case this time. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. I think Ten has definitely taken a more holistic approach with their commercial activities with Paramount's now at their back. So I feel like it's a bit unfair almost if we just single out the TV operations and look at it. But
looking at Paramount, the streaming offering is not doing well. They're dumping shows that have only just started. They're kind of moving away from spending a lot of money in the local market. There's been a lot of talk about Paramount's activity in Australia and what that might look like moving forward. There's a bit of uncertainty there over in Piemont. So hopefully things improve. We'll see. Still half a year to go.
They also just lost Dr. Chris Brown as well. Long time.
I know.
And he was a good host. He made I'm a Celebrity with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yes.
And very easy to look at too. So
that is definitely one of the appealing points. What's your take on the TV rating so far, Nathan?
Well, it is shocking how much it's a two-horse race these days. Like it used to at least be three with the odd ABC, Sea Change, Frontline kind of outlier. But now it basically seems like Channel 9 has a fairly commanding lead. And that's despite their shows not really, like at least the ones that they premiered in 2023, not really going well, which, you know, we saw with, is it called The Rush or the,
yeah.
Like that bombed for them. They've had the thing that just came out today where the new Gordon Ramsay format that they're going to debut later in the year has been cancelled in the BBC after another Gordon Ramsay show got cancelled by ITV in Britain. So he's kind of lost favour overseas, which doesn't bode well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just seems like despite them having a bunch of bombs, I mean, Warnie, people did kind of tune in, but it was a critical bomb. And Channel 7 had that under development for years, and Warnie actually spoke out against it when he was still alive. So that shows how much of that project has kind of been floating around. So it's clearly something that they've been, you know, it's been bouncing around the various networks and production houses. So then for it to debut and kind of fizzle a bit isn't the best news for Nine, but they're far ahead. So I don't think they're worrying too much at the moment.
I mean, that's sort of one thing that stood out to me as well is that we've seen quite a lot of new formats coming out this year. You know, we reported the other day there was Rush that didn't do particularly well at launch, but then there were also Seven's Million Dollar Island that was on at the same time as well, and it didn't get picked up that much. And even earlier in the year, we interrupted this broadcast, and I remember someone saying at the time as well to give that show a bit of time, but it just never ended up really getting picked up. So, yeah, it's really interesting it's actually quite disheartening to see all the new people are not liking the new entertainment format. And like you always say, Shannon, it's always news that's occupying the top spot in the TV ratings. Not that news is bad, but like still.
And Home and Away Like that's a 35-year-old show that is still rating nightly. Like,
and top rating drama in the country. So
And I'm not gonna just bury it all away
because I don't want hate mail, but
I mean, of all this, I think we also can't really talk about the first half of the rating without mentioning that Voz, of all things, has finally launched last month. I mean, I sort of feel like we've seen little of its potential so far, because so far, like, to be honest, I've seen publicity emails from networks, but not seen Voz figures really being properly used anywhere else. And also the timing of its release was really annoying every afternoon, which means that we personally, you know, couldn't include it in our rating story. So I wonder how that's going to pan out in the future, but that's just us. But still, you know, looking out to the rest of the year, we have a few pretty big programs coming up. What do you both think we should look out for in the next couple of months?
Well, I think The Block, which is always a solid performer for Nine, will be great. Last year was a bumper year, as they all tend to be. But this one, I think there's a lot of hype because they're sort of tweaking things about the format that have maybe been a bit on the nose in recent years, like the kind of maths-inspired drama between the contestants being, you know, particularly violent and nasty. That might be toned down a little bit, I hear. Also going back to suburban Melbourne after a year out in the bush. So I think The Block will be really great. I really liked Rush, actually. I thought it was a cool format where they, you know, blindfold and cover the ears of people and dump them in foreign countries and let them sort of do an amazing race style challenge to get back. And maybe it'll pick up with people watching it on demand. We'll see. But I just hope, like you said, Das, I hope that the new shows not firing perhaps as well as they could doesn't dissuade networks from taking a chance on doing it again next year. As you know, we'll know in a few short months' time what's coming in 2024. So,
very exciting to see, you know, what sort of decisions the networks will make on that as well. Nathan, what's your take?
Before jumping into that, I just want to note also MasterChef was another thing that where it had to delay its big launch, obviously for tragic reasons. But when that happened, they quickly put a format on called The Bridge that they'd just done on their digital stations. And that was an excellent show. It's like a reality show where basically half Survivor, half Race Around the World, but they just have to build a bridge out of logs and that's it. And I thought that was a really good format. So I would like to see them actually give that a decent airing, because I think that could be a winner for 10. And also in the second half of the year, one thing that I've been watching is the women's NRL. So Channel 9 have now committed to playing 48 games over the next 11 weeks. They're going to put a bunch in prime time, Saturday night, Thursday night. I think that's going to be a real big shot for them. I think it'll see if footy fans will watch footy because footy's on, or if it'll mobilise female sports fans. But either way, that's a pretty big win for female sports in general, and I think it's a smart move for Channel 9 to put that front and centre, especially when the regular rugby league men's comp is veering towards the finals. So there'll be all eyes on footy, and yeah, I wonder how that will go for them. I think it'll go well.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of things to look forward to for the rest of the year. But, you know, now moving on to something different. Fresh off the press this week, it looks like Facebook and Instagram's parent company, Meta, will actually launch its Twitter equivalent Threads sometime this week. Nathan, I'll probably just throw this question to you. Can you run us through what we've seen so far about this new app?
Well, it's been such a kind of quick announcement for Meta. It seems like they just jumped down as Twitter stock was at its lowest in terms of people just hating Elon Musk and all the changes he's made. And they've just announced Threads, basically said, yep, within 2 days' time, you'll all be able to use a Twitter-like platform through Instagram. They haven't really revealed a lot of information about it yet. We know it's going to be 500 characters, which is kind of comparable to Twitter. What's Twitter at now? 280?
I've got no idea. Yeah. I've lost track, yeah, to be honest.
Keep changing everything. That's why. There'll also be no view limits, which is something that Elon Musk recently put in. You can only read 1,000 tweets a day, which is about 20 minutes of mindless scrolling, which I think most people go through. So it's actually linked to your Instagram account as well, should you wish it to be, which is good because you can just import all your Instagram followers and have an immediate platform, which I think will be really good for influencers on Instagram.
They'll be able to
plug into like millions of followers and have this kind of stream. And it's not linked to your Facebook, but soon they'll also be bringing in third party, so you can link it to Mastodon and things like that that are actual Twitter competitors. So they're really going at them from all angles. Now, Meta are calling it a text-based conversation app, which, you know, sounds a lot like Twitter. There's a few blurry photos of it online, and it does look like a Twitter feed within the kind of colorful Instagram body. So you can imagine that. It says you can discuss everything from the topics you care about today to what will be trending tomorrow. So, again, sounds a lot like Twitter. And it does seem like this will work. All the other things that are meant to be, you know, Donald Trump's Truth Social and all those kind of nonsense things, they don't have the reach, but Meta just has the audience. And I think it's really smart by tapping into Instagram that all these kind of influencers and celebrities, famous people, journalists, et cetera, will have this inbuilt audience. They don't have to start from scratch, which is the problem with launching a new platform.
Yeah, definitely. And I was going to follow up with you on that because you wrote an opinion for us, you know, just this morning saying that, you know, for the advertisers and audiences who are still on there on Twitter, you should probably leave soon. But I guess my question is, what's stopping those that are still on the platform? Like, what's stopping them from leaving?
I mean, I suppose you can't deny that there's still a massive reach for Twitter, even if Elon Musk seems like he's going to screw with that by making you have to pay for play, to give limits to what you tweet. He's got suggested tweets. He's also lifted a bunch of banned accounts. So I think at the moment Twitter just seems like it's an unsafe space for a lot of people. And, like, advertisers are literally having their ads pop up on these, like, next to right-wing Nazi sentiment comments. So it's a pretty gross place to be at the moment if you're a brand. So I think a lot of them are thinking twice about advertising or even just being on the platform because they open themselves up to so much hate just by posting the most, you know, benign stuff.
Yeah.
So it's funny that Meta is the safer, less evil option of this, but I really do think that once the proof of concept is up and Meta have their own Twitter that is performing well and has all the safeguards in place, that's another thing. So if you've blocked people on Instagram already or blocked keywords, they will carry over into Threads. So if you've already set up these kind of guardrails to stop yourself from just hate and abuse or just things you don't want to see, then that will carry over, which is another reason why I think people will jump across.
I mean, to be honest, we only know minimum information about this app at the moment. But from what you've just said so far, it seems to me that there could be a lot of data sharing concerns across the app.
Yeah, I mean, that's the case with all Meta stuff, isn't it? True. They know everything all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we're recording this podcast already.
That is quite terrifying, but thank you for that. And I remember seeing a screenshot somewhere as well saying that it's asking for access for basically every sort of data available on your phone, which was, you know, I don't know what you can use the data for, but they're asking for it. And so, you know, like I said, we don't know anything about the advertising opportunity and what it will be like on the platform yet. But, you know, with the company being Meta, I don't think the answer to whether or not they will have advertising is really a question. So,
yeah, it's when, not if.
Yeah. Do you think advertisers will migrate to the new platform?
Yeah, Twitter? I do. I really do, especially as people are looking for a reason to leave Twitter. And this is a reason. And especially if they're smart with the way they roll their kind of advertising in, like if you can advertise across Facebook, Instagram and Threads, then it will be a very easy option for advertisers. And there's a bit of a kind of newness element to it as well. I'm sure people will be on there a lot and taking advantage of it, and it's kind of almost virtue signaling to go, we're no longer on Twitter, we're on this new platform. So yeah, I think this might actually work. Might work for everyone.
So supposedly we will get more information later in the week, so it'll be very interesting to see what the app will be about once there are more official announcements coming out. And with that, that's all we have time for today. Thank you for listening to the Mumbrella Cast. Throw us a follow or subscribe, and don't forget Mumbrella 360 is coming up pretty soon. So if you haven't secured your tickets, make sure to do that very soon. Thank you again to Shannon and Nathan, and we'll see you next week.